Thank you very much. I heard from Simon that you had been looking at a series on Paul's travels over the summer, very topical. And my aim in this morning is to think about something to do with travelling and perhaps also about meeting travellers if you hadn't had an opportunity to travel yourself, something which we can perhaps make a difference to us for the rest of the year, not just over the summertime. I don't know if you've noticed how time seems different when you're on holiday. Have you noticed that there's something about being away that means we notice more what's happening in each moment? And perhaps there's a message there that we can bring back into our everyday lives. It links up with something that I've been thinking a lot about recently, and I've taken a slight liberty and connected it with the text, as you'll see as we go on. So we'll come to more of that later. But before we start, let's read the reading, which is from Acts, and it's about Paul's vision. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, if you follow it. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, they invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So, has anybody here ever said to themselves, or their partner or someone at home, "This year is just whizzing by"? That's something I hear from Jonathan a lot, so I know that I can put my hand up to that. Or we also hear in our house, "Where's this week gone?" Do you get that one as well? But have you noticed that when you're on holiday or when you're traveling, it can be the other way round? You might be saying, "Was it only yesterday morning when we were doing that thing? Was it only yesterday morning we were in Texas or wherever you've been? And, you know, so much has happened since then." If you're on holiday for a week, okay, it might not feel like it's long enough. You might have wanted to go for more than the week. But the week seems longer, doesn't it, when you're in it? Because you can fit in so much and you can remember so many different things that you've done. Well, there's loads of studies by psychologists and people who like to study those things about our perception of time and how it changes as, you know, depending on what we're doing or as we get older. Do you remember back when you were at school and going into a new school year and it literally felt like a whole lifetime? Do you remember that? If you're in year, whatever you used to call it in those days, and you'd think, you know, this is just going to go on forever. But then when you're a parent, like I can remember, like it was yesterday when my first child started at school. And then you blink and they're in junior school, and then they're in secondary school, and then they're off to university. And, you know, it still seems like yesterday. And he's now 24 and married. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, then make the most of them being small, because it happens very fast. But I think one of the reasons that the normal round of life seems to fly by so much quicker is that it often happens without us really noticing what's happening day to day. You know, in our normal routines, we can sometimes find ourselves on a kind of autopilot, can't we? Do you notice that? We're just doing what we always do without really engaging with the present time or noticing with new eyes that each moment is a new moment in our lives. The pace of life doesn't help either, does it? Because it's so fast. I know people have always said the pace of life's been fast, but honestly, it does seem faster than ever now, doesn't it? And we're bombarded with information from all different places that we often have to respond to. It means there's never very much time to actually reflect on what we've been doing. I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, the weeks seem to fly by, because we don't have time to think about it and process it and let it embed in our memories and let all those connections make or whatever they're supposed to do. When people say to me, "How's your week been?" I know I've been really busy, but I can literally not remember a single thing I've done. Does anybody else like that, or is that just because I'm getting old? But those kinds of things, they change when you're on holiday. You know, everything is new when you're on holiday. Even if you don't go to a new place, you're out of your normal routine. You might have been there before, but, you know, it's a bit different to last time. You pick up on the little cues, don't you? And each moment makes more of an impression. I guess it's making new and different brain connections, new neural pathways. And that's what makes us aware of what we're doing and what's happening around us. We're actually living in the present moment. We're paying attention to what's happening, and we're experiencing the now, the new that's happening in the now. In our reading, Paul and his friends were in that kind of state of awareness, I think. They were off in new places. You know, they were noticing, they were living very much in their present moment, not just going about daily routines, living on autopilot. And if you look at that first part of the reading, you see that all the time they notice things that are out of the ordinary. They notice the Holy Spirit directs them. They're paying attention, they're focused into that. The Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to do, you know, go to Bithynia or whatever they were going to. And then Paul had a vision. So would you like to live in a way where you were as sensitive as that to God's leading? Now, that is quite a loaded question. That is one of those questions that I think comes under the heading of, be careful what you wish for. You know, but would you like to be as sensitive as that to God's leading? I suspect that many of us would like to. We do want to be following God's leading in our lives. And if we sensed it as clearly as we read in the passage with Paul, we'd like to think that, yes, we would follow that lead if we could just sense it. I don't know if that's true for everybody here, but that's how I would feel. I do wonder, though, if maybe the directions in that passage weren't perhaps as clear as they are in the reading. You know, it sounds like it was just obvious. Oh yeah, this happened. They said go here, they said go there. Maybe it wasn't quite as clear as that. Okay, they were in an unfamiliar situation, so of course they were being alert and observant, but maybe they'd also learn to be aware of the moment and discerning of things, signs and signals that they could pick up. It's certainly easier to do that when things are strange and when you're out traveling. Our antennae are up, aren't they, when you're in a new place. And, you know, even if you're somewhere where, you know, and you've gone back to somewhere you've seen before, and you really pick up all the little differences that you might not notice if you were there all the time. But can we bring that awareness and focus of attention back into our normal lives? After all, that is where we spend most of our time. We don't want to just be alert in the 2 weeks when we're on holiday and sort of half dead to the world the rest of the time. Well, I think, interestingly, this passage points us to an answer to that as well, because if we look further on, we read, "On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who were gathered there. One of these women, listening, was from Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Lydia and the women who were there with her were just going about their normal routine of life. They had gone to where they normally meet to worship, just like everybody here has come to their normal place of worship. They could have been just going through the humdrum, living on a kind of autopilot. But they had noticed, Lydia had noticed, something different. We're told that she was a worshipper of God. So she had in her heart something that was orientated towards God already. She was alert to him. She was tuned already to recognize him because she worshipped him. And she didn't, even though she was just in her normal home life, she didn't miss that moment. She was like engaged with it. And in that moment, she met with God. And I think that gives us hope, doesn't it? Here in Bristol and Alma and me over at Woody's over the summer, we often have visitors here too. Travellers who come to us, even if we're not ourselves travelling. We're going away for a short while next week, but we haven't done much travelling this summer. But we can be in our normal routines, and the travellers and new experiences can be here for us if we're alert and we have the chance. We can still have that chance to see new things right here in our home lives. So looking at this and thinking about how easy it is to, you know, pay attention when we're away and how much more difficult it is when we're just, you know, doing the washing up, getting out for work, all that sort of thing. What can we do to cultivate that state of awareness in our lives? The one that comes so naturally when we're away, but keep it alive when we're here. Okay, who's listened so far to everything that I've said? There's quite a lot of people who either here haven't listened or haven't owned up to it. I'm glad to see one or two people who put their hands up. And who's been thinking about something else at least part of the time? Yes, that's fine. Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? Because apparently it was the capacity to be aware in the moment, which is kind of what we're talking about, used to be a hallmark of Christian discipleship. Until about the 16th century, you know, the 1500s, it was something which Christians learnt to do. They were taught practices on how to be aware in the moment, how to focus their attention on the now, how to experience the present, that sort of thing. And it's something that's sort of fallen out of use. I think, you know, with the rise of science, not anti-science, it's just, you know, you need both, intellectualism, sort of rational thinking, education, educating our minds, all that sort of thing, has led us to value other things, or led society to value other things, so that we don't anymore learn exercises which teach us how to practice being in the now. We don't learn how to simply experience the present, observe the moment, hold our attention, whatever it holds, on what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what's going on in front of us. I think we're very good, aren't we? Everybody here is probably quite highly educated compared to people in the 1500s. We learn lots of information. We're very good at training our brains. We're good at critical thinking. We're good at forming opinions. We're not so good, I don't think, and that's true for me, of training our minds. And having an untrained mind is partly what results in us going on autopilot. Your mind is kind of just running itself. It's doing what it wants, when it wants, and it drifts off, and we haven't really cultivated skills on noticing when it drifts off or learning how to bring it back under control, to be doing what I've chosen for it to do. So much of the time, it's left the present moment, and it's drifted off. And if you were someone who just drifted off now, you were probably either worrying about something in the future or ruminating something in the past. But if we want to hear God and hear what God is saying in this moment, then we need to be present in this moment with God to hear it. Just like Paul was, he was present in that moment to know what the Spirit of Jesus was saying. Just like Lydia was, she was present in that moment to meet with God through the message that Paul brought. And the truth is that the present moment is the only moment and the only place where we can hear God speak. I heard an interpretation recently of that phrase of Jesus's, "Do not worry." that actually it's a call to stop worrying about the past or the future, but to come back with your mind into the present where you can meet with God, where Jesus can meet you and, comfort that worry, whatever it is, comfort that feeling. I've been thinking about it quite a lot recently and reading about some of those ancient Christian disciplines which used to be around more. And it's thinking about our minds is what Jesus is calling us all to do when he says to Peter, your mind is on the things of men and not on the things of God. Jesus is telling Peter that he needs to have a changed mind if he's going to see things as God sees them and not just as we see them with our own eyes or as, you know, the world sees them. It's what Paul is calling us to do when he's saying to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we no longer just follow the patterns that are around us, but we follow the patterns of God in our mind. It's about learning to notice and observe our thoughts, not just, you know, let them run their course because they're not disciplined. That's what Paul says when he says that we need to learn to take our thoughts captive. We can't do that unless we look at them and, you know, notice them. Our thoughts and feelings are real. They are really the things we feel and think, but they are not an accurate readout of reality. And unless we learn to look at them, we can get so tied up thinking that they are the truth when they're not the truth, that we end up at their mercy. We need to observe the thoughts and feelings from the outside, not just respond to them a bit mindlessly. And in fact, we need to be mindful. I'm sure that's a word that everybody's heard lots recently, to be mindful. And this is the whole area of Christian mindfulness, which is distinctive from some of the other types of mindfulness you hear around, which are also useful and have benefit, but Christian mindfulness has a certain context that it's set up in. And some people like to call it a Christian watchfulness because we're watching and noticing, or a Christian wakefulness because we're alert. We're not just like half asleep as we go through life. I think this is what Paul and his companions were able to do as they traveled. They paid attention to the present and they could discern God in the moment because they were awake and watchful what was happening. They could see what God saw. And Lydia too, as she went to her normal place of worship, she could see and discern that truth. And I think we have a glimpse of that same heightened awareness, don't we, when we're out of our normal routines of life on holiday, as we've been thinking. And I believe that we can learn to cultivate that same alertness and watchfulness, awareness in all of our lives, so that we can learn to discern what God is showing us, so that we can notice it. If you're interested, I'm sure some of you have found out some of these things before, but look out for teaching on these sorts of topics, because I think we're going to hear more of it. It's something which, at the moment, the world out there is just yearning for spiritual practices, what to do to help our minds. And that's why, I don't know how much many of you have contact with young people, but, you know, there's a lot of interest in Buddhism and in secular mindfulness, because people are looking for an answer to having an uncontrolled mind. There's so much coming in our minds. How do we stop it, you know, overtaking our lives and keep our minds on the things that we choose and want them to be on? But we in the church and in the Christian tradition have this rich history and tradition of Christian practices, Christian spiritual practices. And we have things that we can draw on. And those, of course, are the answer to the needs of the world. And we need to be out there telling people that the answer is here, that we have an answer for them in these mind issues that we're facing at the moment. So to get the most from any sorts of practices, including the Christian practices, of course, you do have to practice them, hence the name. But anybody can have a taster session of a practice. So I thought we would try something now to that we've been hearing about learning how to be aware in the moment and notice what's going on. So this is going to be something which directs us to hearing God now, just as Lydia did and Paul did and their companions had all learned to do. They were attentive to the moment and they were aware of the present reality of the kingdom. Well, there are lots of practices, and some of you may already use some of them, but the one that I've chosen that I thought we might have a go at this morning is called Lectio Divina. And Lectio Divina is the slow and prayerful reading of Scripture. It invites us to come to the text just to be with it, instead of analysing it or having an opinion about it or extracting its message, which is what we normally do. We aggressively extract its message, as it's, I've heard someone say. We just let the Scripture rest over us instead of us sitting over it. So we're going to finish today by looking prayerfully and slowly at just a part of today's text. You'll need to take charge of your mind as we do this in order to keep it in the moment. Keep it with the words that we're going to hear. If it drifts, that's fine. Just notice that it's drifted. You're paying attention to your thoughts and feelings. Notice what that distracting thought is. Just observe it and then let it go. But let the words of the Scripture be life to your mind and spirit as they dwell in you richly, as Paul asks us to do. I'm going to read part of the passage three times, and I'm going to leave just a short silence after each reading. And each time, before I read, I'll give you a focus question to listen with. In the time of silence afterwards, you can contemplate or think about any response that you've had. As we do this, we're actually exposing ourselves to God's word, and we don't know what will come to us, how we'll respond. That's why we actually do it, rather than just thinking about doing it. It might be something unexpected, as no doubt it was for Paul and Lydia. But just notice what comes with interest. You don't need to make a judgment. You just observe it. It doesn't need any opinion. If you want to think about it more later, you can put it aside and think about it again and see if there's anything that it leads on to. So just find yourself in a comfortable position so that you can listen. You can concentrate on this moment. God, as we come to you now, all the thoughts that are tumbling through our minds, we just let them tumble down and roll away. We ask now for your presence to be something we can be aware of. During this first reading, listen with attention and awareness. Listen for any word or phrase which stands out to you, and then just contemplate it, that word or phrase, in the silence afterwards. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. As you listen again, observe your own responses. Where does this passage connect with your current situation or your current circumstances? Just notice what you're feeling. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Listen one more time. What is God's personal invitation to you from this passage? One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Thank you, God, that we can spend time in this moment focusing on you and on your word without distraction. Thank you for what we have each seen and heard. And if anyone here feels that they haven't sensed God in this, we thank you, God, too, for the chance to still our minds and catch and reflect on our thoughts for this time. Amen. So, if you've had a chance to get away over the summer and you've noticed that heightened sense of awareness that it brings when you're in that new place, then bring it back. Hold on to it now that you're back in Bristol. Or bring it back when you've been away and come back. When you find yourself on autopilot, maybe there's some things that you can learn to do so that you spend more time in the present moment. Notice that precious present and learn to become aware of God in every moment of life. And as we finish now, let's not walk away and get like caught back up in that hurly-burly, forget what we've seen or heard. Let's not switch back into autopilot straight away as we get on the Sunday lunch. That's no, I know what I'm doing. I'm already thinking ahead. But keep in mind the thoughts that have come to mind. Maybe you can file it somewhere just to think about later and to keep it with you during the rest of the day. Let it grow and develop in you as you go through your day. And maybe when you go to bed tonight, reflect on your observation of your thoughts and your feelings that you've had at this time and the rest of the day today. Thank you. I'll hand back over to Casey.
Thank you so much, Angela.